T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Eddie C. Eduardo, how are you?
Oh, just great, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're coming along.
And I'm in Port St. Lucie. What could be better?
Well, the weather is not that bad here for the month of February. I know it's what, probably in the 70s where you are, or even better than that?
Yeah, no, it's been hot down here, but it was nice today. It was in the 70s and a little breeze, so it was very nice. But, getting out of New York was different this year because there was no winter, basically. there was no snow. There was not that much cold. So, right. But it's nice down here, yes.
We understand. Now, here, first of all, J.D. Davis, you can imagine, one after the other with the comments, and it's been going on for what seems like a lifetime with the Astros and the cheating scandal. J.D. Davis, Ed, was with the Mets last year, but he was around in 2017, so we know from that. And,
right.
And Jake Marisnyk, tell me what you can from what you have seen so far 10 seconds into spring training, how these two have handled any and all questions, either with the teammates from what you gather, what you observe, and how they have assimilated with the rest of the team, especially Marisnyk, who's new.
Yeah, well, I think that, listen, they've handled it pretty well. JD was, kind of stammered his way through his apology the other day. And I heard that it took some convincing for him to apologize as well, too. That's what a couple of people told me. So I guess that's a little distressing in that regard. But I think you have to realize, too, that this was a kid who got called up on August 5th in 2017. And
right.
Was kind of fighting for his life to stay on the team. Not that you shouldn't recognize that something weird is going on, and it certainly was. That was Marisnyk's take on things when he spoke. I thought he nailed it, actually, because he owned it, basically. He said, hey, I'm old enough. I've been in the majors long enough. He came up in 2013, was traded, was with the Astros for a couple of years. And, basically he said, I should have known better. I could have said something. I didn't. And I've got to live with that. So I give him a lot of credit for, for stepping forward and saying that. He was nervous. I think both were nervous. But they fit in fine here. There's really no repercussions or anything left over from their teammates. I think they've turned the page. They're here. They're Mets now at this point. I still think there's a lot of vitriol aimed at the Astros, and we'll see what happens when the season begins and how pitchers react to hitters, et cetera. But as far as those two, I think the page has been turned. Let's put it that way.
And if the Astros were cheating last year, I mean, it didn't help Marisnyk, who only hit .233.
Yeah, well, he actually had his best season in 2017. And when you break down the numbers, Steve, too, he hit like a house of fire at home. So that didn't work out too well when you look at what was going on in 2017. He obviously benefited from that. Whether he was a full-blown conspirator, I have no idea. And he never really addressed that. But like I said, he owned it. And, he stepped forward. He could have deferred and, made some lame excuse, but he didn't. He said, I should have known better, and that's my fault. I regret it. I apologize, et cetera. So, I think he owned up to it pretty well. But, he's never been a great offensive player. He's a great defensive player.
Right.
And that's where the Mets probably will use him mostly, is all around the outfield to help out in that regard. But, He has never been a great offensive player.
Before we get into with Seth Lugo and the toe and Cespedes, let me ask you one final question about with this Astro and the sign stealing scandal. That's they say it's going to be us. This is the Astro team saying it's going to be us against the world. We're going to be motivated because of all the abuse we've been getting, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying if it is us against the world's going to win. I think they are going to go through hell this entire season, major distraction it's going to be, especially on the road, not only with players, but with fans in a hotel, at a restaurant, on the street, you name it. I think they are just going to be so distracted that it might affect how they play this entire season.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. I think you may be right. I think they might be overwhelmed by the time the season ends. I do think that people are not going to forget this easily, especially on the road. I think they'll be dying to get home from road trips in the safe haven of their park down there. And I think, you know, that will wear on them as the season goes on. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you that I think it's there'll be a cacophony of ill will, let's put it that way, towards the Astros this year. Not only from other teams wanting to beat them. Look, you know, I think they always had an X on their back. They're a good team, and they've been a successful team. You know, reasons why? Well, we can go into myriads of them, I guess. But at the same time, they do have talent there. People want to beat them, but at the same time, they might want to beat them a little bit more this year. So I think it's going to be a difficult season for them. I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, and so basically we are both saying they are not going to win that piece of metal.
I loved what Justin Turner had to say about the commissioner, who has not distinguished himself during this. That's
no.
For sure. Right behind Jim Crane, who might have done the worst PR job I've ever seen in my life. That was just abysmal.
And he hired a PR firm. He had to go off script. I don't understand that.
Oh my God! Good. They actually had a meeting the night before to go over what they were going to do the next day, and then they came up with that. That must have been a heck of a meeting, I'll tell you that. Good Lord!
All right, Seth. What happened to Seth Lugo in the hotel room?
I have no idea. All I know is that Luis Rojas came in the press conference room and he said, "I have something to tell you before we start." And I said, "Okay, here we go." Because up until this point, everyone had been injury free, and this team had, I think that's an important thing for this team. If they do stay injury free, I think they've got a heck of a shot. But, you know, he comes in and says that, and I said, okay, who's going to be out for 3 months? But it turned out to be 3 days instead of 3 months. And, you know, Lugo will be okay. He walked to the locker room. This was prior to us finding out that, you know, that was bothering him. So, and he actually threw today too. So I don't think it's anything serious. He was supposed to throw off a mound tomorrow. He's not going to do that. They'll probably, you know, work him out or have him throw off a mound on the weekend, and he'll be pushed back a few days. But, you know, he's going to work out of the bullpen, so it's probably not as important as if he were a starting pitcher. So I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, very good. And of course, when a Met fan, as you know, cynically so, Ed, when a Met fan hears 3 days, they know it's 3 months. What is it?
Exactly.
All right. And of course, Cespedes, how do we know that Cespedes isn't going to be talking to the media when he had to tell the media he wasn't going to be talking to them?
That's a very good point. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know that's I wanted to ask him, you know, well, how the beat, because we asked about, do you think you have an obligation to talk to the fans? He says, well, yeah, maybe. I said, well, how are you going to talk to him? You're probably going to talk to him through us, I would imagine. So, Robbie Cano, when we told Cano, you know, what Cespedes was up to on the other side of the room, you know, he said, don't worry, as soon as he hits a spring training home run, he'll talk. So, and I'm sure he probably will. He'll snap out of it at some point.
Does he look in shape?
Yeah, he actually does. You know, he's always very thick. It's hard to tell a lot of times with guys because he has that thick kind of body. You know, he's not overweight, but he looks like he's in pretty good shape. I mean, he's taken batting practice a couple of days. We've watched him. He can swing the bat, but that part never really concerned me, honestly. I mean, I think he's kind of a born hitter, and I think that's going to be the easy part. The hard part, obviously, will be playing the outfield, playing as much as he has to after having been off. You know, basically, he's been off for 2 years.
Right.
That's an awful long time to try to get back up to speed and get into the daily grind of baseball. You know, he says he's going to play 140 games and hit 40 home runs and knock in 120. God bless him if he can. That to me would be a superhuman feat after having been away for 2 years. But so far, he looks, you know, pretty decent.
Okay, there's because he's pictured on the back page of the Daily News this morning, and it looks like he has a stomach. But again, you know,
no,
listen,
he's okay.
Yeah, well, no, because you're looking at him in with 3D. You're seeing him
right. He's fine. I mean, listen, is he totally at weight? I don't know, but he's been working pretty hard when Mike Barr was down here. I would chance to gather that he's probably underweight at this point in time. But like I said, he's very thick, so it's
and a walk year. I mean, he wants to get back some of the money that he lost in the grievance. And maybe this means not talking to the media. The fan only cares that he does his talking with his bat.
Yeah, no, exactly. Listen, nobody cares if he talks to us or whatever. It's just,
of course.
He put us off the first day, which was kind of strange. I just thought it was strange simply because he's been away for so long. All we wanted to know was, how he's feeling, basically, and he couldn't give us that. So no big deal. I could care less. It doesn't matter. If he doesn't talk to me all year, I think I'm going to live, Steve. So it doesn't really matter. But you're right. All the fans care about, and all the Mets care about is if he produces at the plate and produces in the field. So,
and you touch on an excellent point, Ed, when you're talking about playing the field, especially with the heels that are healing, and also with the fractured with the ankle getting away from the bore. It's how he is going to be able to play left field. We know he's a natural right fielder, but that's Conforto territory. So in left field, how is he going to dive coming in? How is he going to be able to go out into the gap towards the foul line? Bottom line is, I mean, he needs to have a good first step in chasing a baseball.
Yeah, no, there's no question. And I haven't seen that. Again, I've seen him do outfield drills, but they've been pretty simple drills. I haven't seen him go gap to, in the gap to get something. That comes in game situations, really, when you have to react quickly. So until we see that, you really don't know. And I guess, as I said before, the bigger picture to me is just the wear and tear on a body that hasn't really had wear and tear for the last couple of seasons.
Sure.
I mean, he's been, he's been rehabbing basically here for the last couple of years. So there hasn't been a lot of baseball played. I think, your body gets used to it after a while and you can eventually withstand the rigors of a 162 game season as you go through if you do it pretty much every year. But he's been away, so I just don't know how he's going to react to that.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't play 140, 130, 125 would be a blessing if he can produce and help the Mets win some games, even though arguably it's his last year with the Mets. Now, Luis Rojas, I mean, obviously, with spring training, it's only been 10 seconds. He hasn't really managed a game yet. How comfortable does he look as the manager, Ed?
He looks very comfortable, Steve. He really does. I was saying earlier today that I was talking to somebody with the organization, and we were talking about Luis. And, there's a lot of – his dad is Felipe Alou. You know that. And there's a lot of Felipe in him. He's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He has a strong presence about him. I know a lot of people don't know him, but I've known him for a long time as a coach in the organization. He's always he's very sharp. He's always very aware of what's going on. I like him a lot, and I think he's a very smart guy, and I think he'll be a good manager. But he does have some presence about him, and I think the players respond to him. They told me, several of the players told me that when he was addressing the team, the first full squad workout on Monday, that that most of the veteran players had their eyes fixed on him. So, you know, they weren't looking around the room or questioning or not paying attention. Luis commands your attention, and I think he's going to do a good job. I really do. He's a very agreeable guy. People like him. So I think, you know, over time, just about all these guys have had an experience with him, you know, outside of the guys that have come in from the outside, but have had experiences with him as a coach throughout the organization. So, you know, he's managed to spread a lot of goodwill around over his time with the Mets. And, you know, I think that'll pay off for him. I really do.
Well, and again, it's in his DNA, that's for sure, what with the Alouz. Alonso, he's ready for the trip up the Canyon of Heroes. And Alonso wants to win a gold glove and then get drunk after they win the World Series.
Yeah, he pretty much said it all. He set it all up for you on Saturday when he showed up, as a matter of fact. I love listening to Pete, mainly because I'm always kind of amazed that he's, you know, 24, 25 years old. You know, this kid just turned 25, as a matter of fact, and he's wise beyond his years, and he's a baseball player. You know, he loves the game. You can tell he loves the game. You know, he just exudes that when he's out on the field. He's become a leader on this team in a very short amount of time. Now, you know, 53 home runs obviously helps, but, you know, a lot of times it, even with that, it takes a little while to establish yourself as somebody that's, you know, looked up to on the team. And I think that happened pretty quick for Pete, simply because, you know, he's just a good person. He's a real solid person, works hard. I think everybody sees that. They're glad to see it pay off for him. And, you know, he got right to it when he got out on the field the first day. You know, he was working at first base on his defense. He did the hitting later. So that's Pete. You know, he wants to get better, and, you know, he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt, Ed. But
no, that's okay.
Last year, we know how he would drift way to his right.
Yeah,
and that's probably an issue that he's working on, where how to position himself. Listen,
yep.
He wasn't supposed to be with a good glove and a good fielder. He made a number of terrific picks. He was saving errors from the left side of the infield, right side too. But he would drift over way to the right into second base territory. And, of course, you know, I'm sure that he's working on better positioning for this season.
Well, I think that's going to be important for this team, is positioning the infielders and the outfielders, for that matter. This is still a little bit of a defensively challenged team. They don't have a lot of great gloves out there. Let's put it that way. You know, Mariznick is an A-plus glove, but he's probably not going to play a lot. You know, you have guys like Conforto and Alonso, who I think have, you know, fared better defensively than anybody thought they would. But, you know, still up the middle, they have some questions behind the plate, Cano's range, sure, second, et cetera. But, you know, overall, they're challenged a little bit defensively. So I think their positioning and that is going to be important for them this year, and something they're going to have to work on.
Who's on third, McNeil?
Yeah, McNeil will be on third. And again, that's another – and I think he'll be fine there. I think he'll handle most plays and make most plays. But, you know, is he a great glove? Probably not, but you know, he's probably going to spend the majority of the time in the lineup at third base. I think, you know, J.D. Davis, I think, will spot there. You might, you know, Jed Lowry, if that ever happens, if he can, you know, stay on the field and be on the team.
I had to Google Jed Lowry. I didn't. Jed Lowry, and he's wearing a brace, from what we understand.
He's wearing a big brace, as a matter of fact, a very large brace. Goes pretty much from above the knee down to the ankle. So hopefully that gets cut down. I think that's the goal, is to cut it down to a workable brace, but we'll have to see. But just, you know, I think the fact he's here and he's taking part in workouts, that's a plus, because last year, Pretty much 5 or 6 days in, he was gone from spring training. We never saw him again until September. So I guess he's ahead of the game, even with the brace this year. We'll see what happens.
Cano, is he going to be batting number 3 in the lineup, Ed?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to put Robbie in the lineup. I think he wants to be in the lineup every day. I would say that. He was pretty confident. He said to us on the first day that you'll see the Robbie Cano that you know a little bit more this year than last year. And he had a terrible first half. Much better second half. But overall, it wasn't a great year for him. As far as where the lineup is, Luis has been, Rojas has been, very reticent to pretty much say anything about where anybody is playing or what the lineup is going to be like. We were asking him about leadoff hitters today, and, there's McNeil, there's Nimmo, there's even Rosario, and he wouldn't go anywhere near it at this point in time. So we're going to have to wait and see. But I would think that Cano is going to be in the lineup most of the time. Exactly where he's going to be, I hope it's probably not in the number 3 spot unless he's the old Robbie Cano.
Right. And Syndergaard is keeping his shirt on. What is it?
I know. Everybody else is taking theirs off.
If he's hiding a buzzer, he'll keep the shirt on.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good idea.
All right. So anything else that you can provide us? I mean, obviously the Metropolitans would love to win the division, but it's a tough division, Ed, as you know all too well. Maybe if all things fall the right way and they stay healthy, maybe they can compete for a wild card position. They should be better than last year.
I think if they can kind of match what they did offensively, because they were a pretty good offensive team last year, I can't see the bullpen, Steve, being as atrocious as it was last year. That was an aberration of all aberrations, I think. Diaz threw today and looked terrific. Again, we're on February 18th, so I'm not getting excited. I don't think anybody's getting excited. Give me a couple of months and see where he is. But I do think he's in the right frame of mind. I think, and he even said that he worked much harder to get in shape prior to camp as opposed to trying to get in shape in camp, I think, which he did last year. Players do that sometimes, and they feel they can, get ready at the snap of a finger. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So I think he's better shape physically and mentally this year. And if that's the case, then I think you might see the Edwin Diaz of 2 years ago as opposed to the Edwin Diaz of last year. Let's hope, anyway, because that wasn't any fun to watch, that's for sure.
Oh, no, yeah. And getting Patances, and he seems to be very happy being a Met.
Yeah, now I think he's very happy to be. He's very happy to be healthy. Number one, and he's still kind of working his way back. He's doing the leg exercises along with Cespedes for the Achilles, but he says it feels fine and his shoulder feels fine. He's throwing the ball well. That's a big plus. That's huge to to have him. And if you get a revamped Familia, that would be nice. A healthy Lugo, Gesellman, along with Betances to go with Diaz. That's not a bad bullpen. That's a pretty good bullpen, and they can they can nail down some games. That's for sure. They certainly didn't nail down enough last year, and they were kicking themselves at the end of the year. So but that's a big plus, I think.
And Washington actually had more blown saves. It seemed like the first one third of the season. For the Metropolitans, every one of their blown saves happened then, putting them into such a hole, but they did make a run. Finally, before I let you go, Brady, is he staying with Belichick?
I hope he does, that's for sure. But I can't. It's hard for me to envision Tom Brady going anyplace else. But, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's hard getting in Tom Brady's head, let's put it that way. And, he's got free agency, so he can maneuver this if he wants to, but I'd be hard-pressed to think of him in another uniform, so I'm going to say he stays there.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ed, a terrific report. Take care of yourself. We'll talk again soon.
Always good talking with you, Steve. I'll talk to you soon. Okay,
you got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.